host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to the Alchemy Podcast, where we're on a quest to explore the intersection of cannabis, compliance, and creative in the marketing world today and beyond.
Adam, welcome to the show, man.
Thanks, Jeff. Thanks for having me. I'm super excited to be here. I've been a big longtime listener of the Alchemy Podcast, so I'm honored to be here.
Awesome. Yeah, I feel like you and I were, you know, we're chatting quite a bit pre-pandemic, and now here we are chatting, kind of coming out of the there's light at the end of the tunnel now. It's been quite a year for all of us.
Indeed, it has.
Yeah. So for our listeners that are tuning in right now, you know, Flow Cannabis, you know, great company out of California, you know, offering a wide range of top selling cannabis, CPG brands, ton of different services, including processing and co-packing, manufacturing, white labeling, and distribution. And Adam, you know, excited to have you on the show. Lots of great things coming out of Flow lately as well. But why don't you give us maybe like a quick update? You know, you've obviously been over there for about a little over 6 years, and talk to us a little bit about, you know, what you are doing at the company right now.
So as you mentioned, we launched about a little over 6 years ago. And for the first few years, 4 years or so, I was running marketing at the company, really helping build the Flowcana brand, which is really our flagship brand, up until more recently when we expanded into a few other brands under the umbrella. And then a little bit more recently, we brought on, I hired an awesome VP of marketing, Annie, and she's continued to build out an awesome marketing team. And I've taken a step back from the marketing side of things, and I'm really focused on building out the services side of our business right now, and really focusing on business development and some of our core partnerships, because we've invested a lot of capital and expertise in building out our infrastructure and automation and capacity. So building out that kind of side of the business where we can offer some of these co-packing, white label manufacturing, you know, last mile services to some other values aligned brands in the California market today.
Cool. So I think, you know, one thing that we hear every day, day in, day out, is really, you know, sustainability when it comes to cannabis. And I know you guys are doing quite a bit on the sustainability side. So maybe you can give us a little bit of insight on, you know, the importance of sustainability, especially in the cannabis industry.
Sure, absolutely. I think there's a number of different ways we can go there. Maybe I can take a step back in terms of when we originally kind of launched the Flowcana brand and how that's evolved and how the focus has kind of continued to be around sustainability. So when we launched in early 2015, when I met Mikey, our CEO and one of the co-founders of the company, in the fall of 2014. And then, yeah, we launched a little bit later in early 2015. You know, Mikey told me about, he had this idea where we want to build this model around these craft sustainable legacy farmers up in the Emerald Triangle region and some of the regions, you know, closely associated with the Emerald Triangle as well. And, you know, when, you know, in early 2015, way back when we started, you know, I think there was, you know, a fair amount of lack of transparency in the industry. So, you know, when the average consumer walked into a dispensary, it was pretty hard for them to know, you know, who grew their cannabis, you know, how it was grown, if it was grown sustainably, and where it was grown. And so we wanted to be able to bring more transparency and really give consumers more insight into, yeah, exactly, you know, who was growing it, where it was grown, and how it was being grown. And so a lot of that centered around sustainability and really trying to build a brand around, a big part is around telling the stories around these craft legacy family farmers that, in our minds have really persevered under much more difficult circumstances, and the industry probably would not be where it is today if it wasn't for a lot of some of these early pioneers that really helped, you know, set the stage for where the industry is today. And specifically around those stories, a lot of the stories that we wanted to tell was a lot around these craft farmers who are really growing sustainably and really beyond that, regeneratively. A lot of the farmers that we work with, they really, a lot of them talk about, as opposed to growing cannabis, which they definitely do, but beyond that, a lot of them talk about, we actually grow soil, and growing soil is all about building, you know, over time, really building, you know, healthy living soil that they can put the plants in the ground. And that's what ultimately results in some of the best cannabis in the world. And I think that's, you know, what a lot of the time what makes Emerald Triangle unique is how focused a lot of these craft legacy farmers are that we work with around this regenerative, sustainable cultivation practices.
Cool. Yeah, very interesting. And I think, you know, one thing that we hear a ton, especially in the industry, as we're, you know, also talking to a lot of cannabis providers, is, you know, they grow indoors and cultivate indoors. And
sure.
You guys have obviously launched a new imprint with Farmers Reserve, and you guys are obviously celebrating the sun-grown craft legacy of the farmers. So maybe for everybody who's listening, because a lot of people I know don't really know about the sun-grown cannabis movement and the role sure. that you play in it. So give us the whole 411 there, because this is why I love Alchemy so much, because every episode we kind of uncover new things. And there's a lot of people who really don't understand the difference between sun-grown and indoor cultivated.
Sure. I think there's a lot of different things you could talk about on that front. But, you know, in general, you know, indoor cultivation overall is really, if you look back at history, it is really a byproduct of prohibition. And there were a lot of the cultivation was originally focused, you know, outdoors under the sun, somewhat, you know, hidden under what a lot of the story that people tell, hidden under trees up in the hills to kind of when the helicopters are flying over, right. You know, the plants would be a little bit hidden. And eventually, I think, you know, a lot of the cultivators felt that it would be even easier than that just to actually move, you know, indoors. So it'd be much harder for the authorities to detect where cannabis is being cultivated. And so I think because cannabis was also being grown, you know, under the trees, you know, in the shadows, not out in full sun, I think, you know, maybe the quality wasn't as quite of, you know, where it could have been. But now that cannabis is regulated out in the open, you know, there's an opportunity to grow cannabis out in the full sun for that full, 6 to 9 months out in the full sun, where it's really hard to replicate, you know, what that effect is, all the natural environments, everything out, and just the growing outdoors in the natural environment for that long. It's really hard to replicate that indoors. But beyond that, you know, I think compared to indoor sun grown is just demonstrably better for the environment than growing indoor. I think there's been a number of data sources that have been, you know, cited over the past few years, but, you know, indoor cultivation overall, it's been said that can produce, you know, 25 times more CO2 than outdoor cultivation does. It can be, you know, 70 times more energy intensive than commercial office buildings, as an example. So, you know, there's a lot of different stats that get thrown around, but I think, you know, ultimately for us, we feel like the future of cannabis is ultimately sun-grown. And I think some of the farmers that we work with, specifically the Flokana brand, and the example you mentioned, Farmers Reserve, some of the farmers that are being highlighted for that specific product line, if you go purchase that flower in store, you'll be able to see the quality that's in that jar. And, you know, I think beyond that, there's a few metaphors that some of the farmers that we work with like to throw around that kind of gives a sense of why they're so passionate about sun-grown. One of the farmers that we work with that I think grows some of my personally favorite cannabis, one of the kind of metaphors he always likes to talk about is, you know, redwood trees out of the environment. So I think redwood trees are probably the biggest plants that are growing, that are grown out in the world in terms of just the scale of the average redwood tree. And a redwood tree, you know, is not grown by, you know, a bunch of different, nutrients and fertilizers and other things that are not naturally out in the environment. Redwood trees just grow because of all the different types of other foliage and other things that die and decompose out in the ground. And then the trees basically get to benefit from that. And it's basically just, you know, everything that's in the soil plus, you know, sun and water for out in the environment. And your redwood trees become some of the biggest plants in the world just by, you know, the natural things that are out in the environment. And I think, you know, that's one metaphor that one of our farmers used that I always like to kind of reiterate around, you know, the power of the sun and natural environment and how just growing out in the natural environment, you can grow some of the best cannabis in the world.
Yeah. Speaking of redwood trees, you know, it's pretty amazing that like they really only grow in California. It's like, I think one of the only places in the world where they actually thrive.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
It's amazing. I think it's probably not just from the soil too, but it's got to be something to do with like the marine air, the sun, like all of those things, right? It's got to be like the perfect environment for them.
Definitely.
It's crazy. Yeah, they're so big. They really are.
They're huge.
And beautiful too. Every time I come out to the West Coast in San Francisco, I love going to that park right there. That's just, it's mind blowing.
Yeah, the Muirwoods parking lot. Every time you drive by that exit, most of the time it says the parking lot is full. So you're not alone there.
That's awesome. So let's talk about maybe some of the other brands as well. So you guys also have Roots and Caldera. You know, what's unique about those brands? How do you differentiate them in the market?
Sure. The Roots brand is much more of a value brand, looking to offer the consumer a more affordable, but still sun-grown product that are maybe looking for a bit more of a value offering. And then Caldera is at least currently really solely focused on manufactured products. So and really focused on the live resin products. So we've got a diamonds and a sauce out in the market, as well as a live resin packs cart, and that's really focused on all of this. All three lines, Flocana, Roots, and Caldera, all are still focused on sun-grown inputs.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that makes sense. No, I think when I think about the cannabis space in particular, obviously, you know, everyone's fighting for consumer attention. You know, we've got every day it seems there's more states, you know, coming on board from a legalization perspective. And I think, you know, it's so important in the space, not only to be a thought leader, but also to educate, you know, your consumer. And I know you guys have done a really great job kind of being a thought leader. You guys have done all sorts of different flow sessions and flow talks. And, you know, I'm just curious from you, like maybe some of the other branded content, you know, opportunities that you guys are tapping into to, you know, grow your presence in the industry and be that thought leader.
Sure, that's a great question. I think in cannabis, as you guys are very close to this, you know, I think the opportunities to tell your story and get your brand out there is it's more challenging than the average brand outside of cannabis and some of the opportunities they have. I think back in early 2016, I think we ran what was essentially the first omni-channel marketing campaign, which is our first sort of big debut as, you know, as the Flocana brand and the company actually started as a delivery service. And when we expanded out to more of, you know, a consumer CPG brand, we wanted to do a big push and kind of tell that story around what the brand is all about. And, you know, that was very successful. You know, we had a number of, you know, billboards, a lot of video content, you know, some programmatic ads, a lot of, you know, print ads out there. And a lot of stuff that we were able to do with that campaign, we were no longer able to do. As an example, we had a lot of really compelling video content that we were able to get a fair amount of play out of the Facebook ad platform, as an example. But you know, over the year or two after that, it got shut down two or three times until it was finally shut off for good. You know, I think, as you know, as I've listened to some of the other podcasts, some of the other people you've talked with, you know, billboard advertising has continued to become more and more challenging with recent regulations coming in play here in California. So I think to be successful from a marketing perspective and telling your story in cannabis, I think key is really being able to be nimble and continuing to always stay up to date on what the new opportunities are and where the limitations are also popping up as well. So I think that's ultimately what helps brands set themselves apart is continue to be nimble and always continue to evolve and see where they can take advantage of opportunities where cannabis is still allowed, and how you can, I guess, you know, walk that fine line while you can still be successful with not getting shut down. But beyond that, I think for us, what's been successful, and I think what has been successful for a lot of other brands, is really a lot of that, you know, in-store activity. I think a lot more activity has shifted to delivery services as of late, but I still think there's still a lot of weight beyond the in-store interaction, and especially the interaction with the budtenders and dispensaries. I think, you know, a lot of consumers are still walking into dispensaries and asking the budtender for a recommendation in terms of, you know, what should I buy? I'm looking for this specific effect, or I'm looking for, you know, a brand that, you know, has these types of values. And they ask, you know, which, based on what I'm looking for, what would you recommend? So we still put a lot of emphasis on educating bud tenders about the Flow Kana brand, the Roots brand, the Caldera brand, and just the overall Flow Cannabis Co. ecosystem and why we feel like they should recommend our products.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So two quick questions for you kind of as a little bit of a look back, but one, obviously we just kind of passed 420 last month, and I'm always very, very interested to see how everybody did. So I think one, talk to us a little bit about, if you did anything special around 420, if you saw a big bump in sales. And then also, we were kind of moving through the pandemic, a lot of the, cannabis operators out there, both MSOs and SSOs alike really saw major lifts, during a very taxing time on the country. I'm just curious what the impact was for you guys.
Sure. And you're talking about the past year or so in terms of COVID in general, right?
Yeah, like maybe even, obviously in the early days, when we kind of things started to shut down, there was definitely a pause. People were very nervous of, okay, are they going to shut us down too? But then, we saw this huge movement of cannabis being deemed essential, and it kind of reversed itself very quickly. So as the pandemic raged on, people obviously got comfortable with how they were going to get their cannabis. How did it impact you guys? And then, for 420, just anything you might have seen or anything you might have done differently this year.
Sure. I guess speaking to that first part about just what we saw in terms of over the past year and COVID and how that impacted us. I think, to your point, the industry overall here in California, I felt pretty lucky that, within the first few days, cannabis was deemed essential, and which, brought a lot of clarity to the industry in terms of retailers continuing to be able to stay open and continue to be able to serve customers. I think the trend that we kind of saw and the feedback that we got for the first, maybe month or so, it seems like products that were, inhaled for a brief time kind of dialed back a little bit, and edibles and some of the other products had a bit of a bump. And then, shortly after that, I think kind of things seemed to move back to normal. But then overall, to your point, I think, a lot of brands and similar to us, we definitely saw, a bump in sales overall. I think, in general, people were staying home more. They were not going out as much. And I think a lot of people were seeing the benefit of being able to have cannabis to enjoy at home when they're having to spend much more time at home. So we definitely saw that impact for sure. And then to your question about 420, we ran a few different promotions. We didn't do anything, I guess super crazy this year, but we definitely did see, a bump in sales. I think for us on the, selling into retailers, we generally see a pretty significant bump, the few weeks leading up to 420 as retailers are stocking up for 420, and actually, on 420 and the days on 420, we don't see like a huge impact from the wholesale side of things, but the weeks leading up to 420, we definitely see a pretty big bump in sales.
Awesome. Well, this is great. And, congrats on everything that you guys are doing. And obviously everything that you guys have launched with Farmers Reserve, really exciting stuff. And of course, always great to reconnect with you. And, thanks for giving us a little bit of a recap on the year. And, of course, always wishing you guys great success as you roll out new products.
Likewise. Thanks so much, Jeff. Really appreciate the time.
Great to have you on the show, Adam.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.